Today is really a feast of love. The Lord's love for Paul. To change him that radically from a persecutor and a murderer into an apostle. The greatest apostle who ever lived. Endowed with such grace of speech and preaching that thousands came to Christ through him. It's a very beautiful story. But as he kept saying over and over again in his writings, this is what it's all about. We are all saved by the mercy of God. We are justified by faith. And that faith is itself a gift of God. Now, this is Paul's prophetic call that Paul just recounted himself here. And earlier in chapter 9, Luke recounts it. When Luke has something important, he records it twice. When it's very important, he records it three times, if you've ever noticed that. So among the things that are recorded three times is this conversion of Paul. Luke's narrative and Paul's two speeches. This is the one here in Jerusalem. Anyway, he's a prophet. Now, what characterizes, among other things, a prophet is that their call impresses upon them their message. For instance, Isaiah, the majesty, the wonder, the glory of God. Jeremiah, the suffering of God. Hosea, the love of God. Amos, the love of God for the poor, and so forth. So here, if you read the text closely, you can see the three characteristics of St. Paul's prophetic message. First, the reality and divine majesty of Jesus Christ. The very first thing, you see. I fell to the ground and I heard a voice. Who are you, sir? Who are you, Lord? He met him personally. Met him and was imbued with such a grace of understanding. This is the living and eternal Son of God. This is the one who was crucified and whom God obviously raised from the dead. Here he is. That's the first thing Paul learned. He preached all the rest of his life. The second is the identity between Christ and the church. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. He doesn't say, I feel bad for my followers. He says, you're persecuting me. I feel it. When my disciples are beaten and in jail and killed. The identity. This is so super important today. You see, Christ is identified with us. So he cares for us. As Paul says later in the letter to the Ephesians, like his own body. So the second one is, you see, the identity between Jesus and every believer. The union between them. So that he can say here, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And the third is the complete gratuity of grace. He was on the way to round up and imprison and drag back to Jerusalem for imprisonment and some for killing, the followers of Jesus. He was not searching for the Lord, at least on any conscious level. And the Lord gave him this total grace, completely, completely unmerited. And that, of course, is the foundation of his whole teaching. We are justified by faith. We are saved by grace. It's the work of God. Now, we have to yield to that work. And there are obstacles to our yielding. But we can yield. But we're yielding to a work. In chapter 6 of John's Gospel, when the people say, "What works shall we do?" Jesus answers, "This is the work of God, not what you do. The work of God is that you believe in the one whom he sent. That work is worked in us by God. And we yield to it." The art is all day to yield to that. Let the Lord, let the Holy Spirit confront us with all the obstacles in us. Anger, distraction, yield to this work of the Holy Spirit. Now from that, you see, a prophetic experience comes the vocation to preach, to preach, to preach, to preach all over the world incessantly and to put up with suffering, betrayal by brethren, you know, beating, shipwrecked, and finally killed. But with such a joy, so glad to belong to Jesus Christ and to preach him and to trust him. One time Paul tells us in the letter to the Corinthians, 3 times I begged the Lord to take away this suffering. And he said, "Paul, my grace is enough for you." Because power, the power of grace, the power of the Lord's love, is made perfect in infirmity. So we shouldn't be surprised about infirmity, illness, or whatever. The power of God works out through our weakness. So Paul typically says then, "Well then, gladly do I boast of my weaknesses so that the power of God can overshadow me." So while he's absolutely unique, he's imitable. We can know that Jesus is the Son of God. We can know that he's identified with his church. See? We can appreciate the pure gift of grace. And we can preach, even in difficulties.